Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45.
Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8, and we'll be beginning in verse 12. We'll be covering verses 12 through 30, so a little bit larger passage this morning. John 8, starting in verse 12. Been working through our way through the Gospel of John in our morning service time. And after looking at the beginning of chapter 8 last week, we now continue into the first half of the chapter. So let me begin by reading a portion of our text. So John chapter 8, starting in verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Pharisees said to him, You are bearing witness about yourself. Your testimony is not true. Jesus answered, Even if I do bear witness about myself, my testimony is true. For I know where I came from and where I am going, but you do not know where I come from or where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. Yet even if I do judge, my judgment is true. For it is not I alone who judge, but I and the Father who sent me. In your law it is written that the testimony of two people is true. I am the one who bears witness about myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness about me. They said to him, Therefore, where is your Father? Jesus answered, You know neither me nor my Father. If you knew me, you would know my Father also. These words he spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple. But no one arrested him because his hour had not yet come. We'll stop there for now. Think about light is essential. In a 2001 edition of National Geographic, there was this article about the power of light. And it said this, Light reveals the world to us. Body and soul crave it. Light sets our biological clocks. It triggers in our brains the sensations of color. And light feeds us, supplying the energy of plants to grow. So that's a lot of essential benefits that light brings us. I'm sure there's many more that aren't stated there. So imagine a world without light. It would be hard, right? It would be hard to live and function. Well, in this text, Jesus explains that he is the light of the world. He's the one that we need for light, to live. And today we'll see exactly what that means for us, but let's remember the context. Jesus has been teaching in the temple and has faced a lot of opposition, and especially from the Jewish authorities. And the opposition to him has been growing in intensity. And actually, it's going to even get even more intense as we go further on. And the main discussion is over Jesus' identity. Who really is Jesus? This guy who is performing miracles and speaking so authoritatively. And every time that he explains who he is, there's debate, there's division, there's doubt. And this passage is like that. There are some of the same elements present. You see, Jesus will make a claim about himself. The authorities will debate with him over it, and there will be division among people. So let's first look at his claim. He says, I am the light of the world. Think about how sometimes people make some big claims. Once in a while you're here, somebody say that they're the greatest basketball player. Remember Muhammad Ali used to say, I am the greatest, talking about how he's the greatest boxer. Maybe you'll hear someone say, I'm the descendant of someone famous, or things like that. They make some kind of claim. But just listen to Jesus' claim, I am the light of the world. That phrase, I am, reminds us of God talking to Moses on the burning bush where he says, I am. Tell them that I am sent you. Jesus is God incarnate, standing in front of them. But not only this, Christ says that he is the light of the world, not a light. He is the exclusive source of a spiritual light. There is no other light than him. There is no alternative. There may be false lights out there in the world, claiming and calling out to you, saying, I light up the world, but they don't shine at all. The world, your reason, other things try to call out to you, claiming to have the truth, but really all they are shattered light bulbs that never shine, that never give light. Jesus is the light that you need, and his light will always shine forth. He is a light, so he doesn't need electricity to power up. He doesn't need gas. He doesn't need any other source to light up. He is the light. But what exactly does being the light mean? Often in the Bible, light and darkness are contrasted. So light pictures goodness, truth, life. Darkness pictures sin, judgment, death. Throughout Scripture, light pictures God's presence, his guidance, his salvation. Think about the wilderness. God led Israel at night with a pillar of fire to light the way. Light pictures God's revelation. Think about how light dispels darkness so that you can see, so that you can see the truth, you can see where to go. So Christ dispels the darkness of ignorance and sin, and he shows us the truth. He shows us where to go. He's the truth. He is where truth and salvation are found. He guides us. He gives us life. See, the world is full of darkness. That's the picture that the Bible gives us because of sin, because of the fall. It's in rebellion. Sin, ignorance, it's under death. But Jesus comes into the world and he is this light that shines and gives us the truth. Reveals what the truth is so that we can follow him. And he is also the light of the world. So he offers himself to the world, not just a select nation, not just a select people group, but to all. So the only remedy for the darkness of the world is Jesus. That's what he's saying. I am the light, the only light. But what's the key to having this life? Light. What's the key to having this light is, he says, follow me. One who follows me. Following entails also believing. You know, we all can see and we accept physical light. So we see these lights, we see the sun shining in, and we accept it, right? There's no one here that denies that there's light shining right now in here. But not all see and accept spiritual light. So you want the truth? You want guidance in life? You want rescued from the darkness? You want life? Then turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus Christ. You don't have to go to a store and buy this light. You don't have to twist him into a certain socket. You simply follow the light that already shines. You don't ignore him. Don't close your eyes. Don't walk away from him, but follow him. The Lord then promises something to those who follow him. We will no longer walk in darkness. Like the Israelites who strive to follow close to that pillar of fire in the wilderness, so we must always follow Christ. Where he leads, we must go. Where he stops, we stop. When the Israelites stayed close to that pillar, it meant life. And so when we stay close to Christ, it means life. And you stay close by believing. Follow Christ. He is what you need. He is the light that guides. He is the light that saves and reveals and gives life. But follow in faith, and you will not walk in darkness. You will not be left in your sin. You're not left in your ignorance. You're not be left under death or uncertainty. You won't be fumbling, stumbling, staggering around in life, but you will have this ever-shining light to follow. You know, at my home church, I helped out with the youth group often, and I would take them on corn mazes in the fall. Sometimes we'd do a corn maze in the dark. Anyone ever do a corn maze in the dark? So you think a corn maze is hard in the light time? Well, think about corn maze in the dark. It's a lot harder, right? Well, some of the people that coming to the activity, they would bring a flashlight, as, you know, any common sense would dictate. And so, as you went through that maze, if you didn't have a flashlight, what would you do? You would go close to someone who had a flashlight because you want to know where you're going. You know, because in a corn maze, you think about a field, there's obviously holes and things in the way, obstacles. So you stick close to someone who had a light. That's because when it's dark out, you walk toward the light, not away from it. Because you want to know. You want to know where you're going. So don't go away from Christ. Go to Christ. Go to the light. For when you do, you will no longer walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So Jesus is, as he claims, the light of the world. So the question remains for us, will you follow him or will you continue in darkness? You won't find any other spiritual light, so go to him. Follow him with your life. So Jesus makes this great and bold claim that he is the light of the world. And the Pharisees confront him about this. And what they do is they actually don't go right after his light of the world claim. They actually go after the case that can he even make a claim? They go after, does he have authority to testify about this? And that's what they go after. And so what we see is verses 13 through 20, the case for why the light can be trusted. So Christ makes this case of why his testimony can be trusted, because, as I said, they go after that. And so their argument is, you are testifying about yourself, so therefore your testimony doesn't hold up. If you remember about the law, it stated that you need at least two witnesses to verify a claim. So therefore, in their minds, his case didn't meet the requirements. So in response, Christ gives multiple reasons why he can make such a claim. First, he explains that he knows his origin and destination, but they don't. What he means is that he's from God and going to God, so therefore, his testimony is true. You see, Jesus isn't just this typical person off the street who's claiming big things, but he's from heaven and going to heaven. And only him and his Father know this so they can testify to his identity. You see, this information has to be revealed to them so they can know it, since none of them are from heaven. So how can they judge if his testimony is true if they don't even know his true origin and destination? You see, even if he, as he says, even if I testified alone, it's 100% true because I'm from heaven. And anyone who's from heaven is going to be true. But he also explains that not only is his testimony true, his judgment is true. And the reason is because he judges with the Father. He doesn't just judge alone. The Father and the Son, they work perfectly together. They judge perfectly in unity so that the Son's judgment is the Father's judgment. So therefore, his judgment will always be true because it's in line with the Father who is perfect, and Christ is perfect as well. So unlike the Pharisees, he makes a stab at them. He's saying, you judge by human standards. But Jesus doesn't judge this way. And as you think about this, that Jesus doesn't judge by the flesh. Jesus doesn't judge by human standard. It is the greatest news possible. Because Jesus doesn't judge us according to some worldly criteria. He doesn't look at us and say, well, he looks put together, he can be saved. You know, just look at that person, huh? He can't be saved. He has no chance. He doesn't judge by the flesh. He doesn't go by what we look like or by how we view people. You see, the Pharisees, they were judging Jesus just by what they saw. They thought, oh, he's just a human, so we're going to judge him that way. But they didn't consider that this was God who took on flesh. They're being earthly minded. They're only really thinking in human terms, but what they needed was to ask God, rely upon God to open up their eyes and see the truth. Really, they needed the Spirit's help to look deeper, to not just judge so superficially. And also, he can be trusted because he has two witnesses. So he says, hey, the law says we need two witnesses, and I got two, myself and the Father. Even though my testimony is 100% true on its own, I also have the Father. This is kind of like the trump card of witnesses. Like, if you have God the Father as your witnesses to your identity, then, you know, how can you beat that? But in response, they're like, okay, where's your father? Where's your dad? And of course, you can tell they're not really thinking the way Jesus is portraying himself. They're not thinking of God the Father. They're just thinking, oh, his human father. Where's your father then? They weren't really getting it. And he says, you don't know me or my father. And he can say this because Jesus makes the Father known. He reveals him to the Father. That's why later on Jesus says, why don't you get it yet, to his disciples? Why don't you get it yet? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because I reveal the Father to the world. You can't separate the Father and Son completely. This is interesting because it shows us that theoretical knowledge about God is not the same as truly knowing God. These Jewish authorities could definitely say, oh, we know God. And Christ says, you don't really know God. You don't know him because you don't know me. You may know facts about God, but you don't truly know God if you don't know Christ. You take Christ out of the equation, then you don't really know God. And all these things happened in the treasury, but even after such a powerful statement, no one arrested him. And again, it's this theme of, if it's not God's timing, it's not going to happen. And you see that once again. So there's a lot in that first section, so let me summarize it and apply it. So the first half is all about Jesus' claim and his authority to make such a claim. So where does his authority to come from? And really, his authority to testify and judge comes down to his relationship to the Father. Christ isn't only human, as the Pharisees were judging him to be. Well, he was 100% human and 100% God. He is the one and only unique Son of God who has come from heaven and went back to heaven. He judges in complete unity with the Father. The Father testifies to who he is. But to know all this, you must know the Father and the Son. If you don't know one or the other, you won't know the truth. So have you submitted to Christ's authority? Do you truly believe in his identity, that he is the light of the world? Whether you believe him or not, he is. He can be trusted. And as the Pharisees came to find out, there's no way to strip his authority. There's no way to undermine his claim. Jesus' authority cannot be dismantled. They tried to derail Jesus all these times throughout his ministry, but they couldn't. And by going up against him, they showed that they were walking in darkness. They were part of the world. They were in darkness. And the darkness was trying to overpower the light, but it can't. It never prevails. Darkness never prevails. What a hope for us. Darkness never prevails. It may try its hardest, but in the end, it will never work. And this is a challenge to the unbeliever, but also an encouragement to the believer. It's a challenge because it means no matter what, you will never take away Christ's authority or identity. His testimony is ever true. His judgment is always right. He is who he says he is. But it's also an encouragement because remember, our Lord can be trusted. His words are reliable. And his judgment is righteous. So here's the thing. Since he is who he says he is, then there are consequences for rejecting the light. So if he really is who he says he is, that means rejecting him is a big deal. Look at verse 21 following. John 8:21. So he said to them again, I am going away, and you will seek me, and you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, will he kill himself, since he says, where I am going, you cannot come? He said to them, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to him, just what I have been telling you from the beginning. I have much to say about you and much to judge, but he who sent me is true, and I declare to the world what I have heard from him. They did not understand that he had been speaking to them about the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. So let's say that you reject the fact that there are policemen in our country, and you live like as though there were none. There's probably going to be consequences. You're going to get pulled over. You're going to be in trouble with the law. You could go to jail. So also there are consequences for rejecting Jesus, the light. And what we see is there are eternal consequences. See, Christ explains that he's going away. They're going to seek him, and they're going to die in their sin because where he's going, they cannot come. He's going to return to his Father. People are going to continue seeking the Messiah because they rejected the true Messiah. They're going to keep seeking the Messiah, but not find him because he already came and went. And since they never believed in him, they will die in their sins. Dying in your sins is not good. It means you have died in the state of sin. All those who die in their sins will not be with the Father. They will not enter heaven because they can't. Their sins have not been forgiven. They are still alienated from God. And that's a sad reality. And once again, they don't grasp what he's saying. So Christ explains that why they can't go where he is going, because they are from the world. They are of the world. They are from below. He is from above. He is of not of this world. Essentially, he's saying, you are not of God. You are of the world. You are not in the light. You are in the darkness. So obviously you can't go to where the Father is because you are against him. You know, going to where Jesus goes is not like walking into a room. You have to be born from above. But there's hope. He says, unless you believe. So he says, yeah, you're going to die in your sins unless. So he's giving them hope. There's a way. Unless you believe that I am he. There is a way to avoid dying in your sins. Belief in Jesus. What state are you in? Are you still under your sins and dying your sins? Or are you where you live because of Christ's righteousness, since you have been born from above? not of this world, as Jesus tells the disciples later on in John. And all it takes is belief in Jesus Christ. That's the one condition that must be met. This is a matter of enduring significance. Either believe in Him or die separated from God forever. Turn to Christ today. Realize that He is the light of the world. Put your faith in Him. After this, they say, "Who are you?" And all of us readers of the gospel are thinking, hello? He's been telling you all along. And that's what Jesus says, "I've been telling you from the beginning." As we've been working through John, it seems like his identity and who he is has come out all the time. And now they're saying, "Who are you?" And he says, I have even more words to say about you. I even have more words to say about judgment. And it's interesting because he says, but don't worry, I'm paraphrasing here, but don't worry, because as always, his words will be the same as the Father's. Saying, I'm going to speak what the Father says, so it's going to be truthful. There are consequences for rejecting the light of the world. We also observe the confirmation of the light. Jesus actually tells them that there is an event coming that is going to give proof to my claims. And it's going to confirm everything. And he shows them it's the cross. But what's interesting is that they're going to play a part in providing this proof. He says, when you have lifted up the Son of Man. So think about the cross in this way. What's meant to be this event to get rid of Jesus, Jesus is saying, this event is actually going to confirm who I am. Instead of getting rid of me, you're actually confirming who I am at the cross. The cross event is the clearest display of his identity and his relationship to the Father, because it showed that Jesus did exactly as the Father desired. It showed that Jesus is the Son of God who never sinned. It showed his perfect submission to the Father, even to the point of going to the cross. His work on the cross confirmed his word. So if you're here today and you're wondering who Jesus really is, look no further than the cross. He wasn't forced to die. The cross didn't catch him off guard. This was his mission all along. Before he was arrested, he was saying, the Son of Man will be lifted up. This was his mission, he knew. He voluntarily submitted to the Father, going to the cross because it's what the Father desired, what pleased him, what he had planned. And many believed in him as a result. So now as we study these same words this morning, will you believe too? The one who was lifted up on the cross was lifted up for you. He was the perfect sacrifice, pleasing to God, and he dealt with our sin. But you must believe, as he says, unless you believe in Jesus. Jesus truly is the light of the world who must be believed in, or you will die in your sins. Christ shows us there's really only two options. Either you remain in darkness, die in your sins, and receive the just judgment you deserve, or you believe in Christ and are rescued from the darkness, and you're in the light. You're brought and given life by Christ. You're forgiven of your sin. I want you to imagine this morning that the sun could talk. So you know, the physical sun that gives light to us all. So imagine it could talk. And it claimed, I am the sun, I light up the world. You would think everyone would know this. And everyone would accept it. But let's say that there were many people who responded, no, you're not. Who are you to claim to be the sun? That wouldn't make too much sense, would it? We all know the sun. We all know that it lights up our world. So you would have to intentionally reject the sun's light. You would have to intentionally deny its claim because light bears witness to itself. Well, Jesus is the true light of the world. He has spoken. He has claimed to be the light of the world. But how will you respond? Will you accept it and follow him? Will you be like those who denied the Son's claim? Those who do that, they look like fools. They're ignorant of the truth, all because they reject the truth. So too, if you reject the Son of God's claims, you are not only ignorant of the truth, you will die in your sins. There are consequences for rejecting the light, Jesus. So respond in faith. Believe in Jesus Christ today and be forgiven of those sins. He's ready with open arms to receive you. Christian, do you live like these things are true? Do you live that Christ can be trusted? Christ is all that I need in this life. He is the light of the world. He can be trusted. There are consequences for rejecting him. But there's also been a confirmation of his word on the cross. So now, what will you do with these truths? What will you do with these facts? Will you continue in darkness? Will you follow the light? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And may, if there's anyone here today who has not trusted in him, that they would realize their need, that they are in darkness. And they need Christ. He is the only option. He is the exclusive source of spiritual light that they need. Help them to repent and to turn to you, realizing that Christ has given us hope. He has given us a way to be saved, to not die in our sins. And we praise him for that. And just pray that also for anyone here who has trust in Christ, that they would continue to follow him and to trust his word and to live the truths that they know. And to realize that Christ is their all. Christ is everything. And as we sang earlier, all I have is Christ. He is my life. Let's pray. Amen.